Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
And yes, this is Judaism 101.9 with Rabbi Michael Katz. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon, a beautiful, glorious Wednesday afternoon. And here it is in Johannesburg. And of course, today, the 27th day of Sivan. Now, what do Joseph, Yosef HaTzadik, the great Joseph, the son of Jacob, the 12 spies, Joshua, let's think of others. What about the Lubavitcher Rebbe? What about the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe? Or what about Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion? What do all of them have in common? The commonality is that they all feature in something to do with this coming week, and therefore they're all going to be featured, and we're going to talk a little bit about each one of those on this week's edition of Judaism 101.9. So let's get started. Let's go right into it. Today is the 27th day of Sivan. It commemorates something tragic. It commemorates Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, who was one of the martyrs. You know, we've spoken about before the 10 martyrs that we speak about and think about and relive their terrible experiences. Every Yom Kippur, we go through part of the Avodah, part of the service, part of the davening, end of Musaf, on Yom Kippur, and we speak about the 10 martyrs. We mentioned some of them last week as well. And here, Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, who was one of the 10 martyrs, was killed on this date. So today is the Yahrzeit, 27th of Sivan, of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, when the Romans had discovered him teaching the Torah that was outlawed. They wrapped him in a Torah scroll. They piled bundles of twigs around him and set him alight, unfortunately, with the most terrible consequences. They also, in their cruelty and their murderous ways, they covered him in damp woolen cloth in order to prolong the agony of his death. And now, as the flames engulfed him, his disciples said to him, "Master, what do you see?" "Rabbi, what do you see?" Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion replied, "I see a scroll burning, but the letters are flying up to heaven." If we think about that as a bit of a theme for today, there is a lot of difficulty going on in the world. There's a lot of tragedy. There's a lot of sadness. And there's a lot of stuff that could be compared, I suppose, in many ways, to the idea of the burning of Torah scrolls or the killing of martyrs and so on that has unfortunately been taking place all too often of late, but also particularly over the extent of Jewish history, where all of these things have happened, and yet the letters continue to fly up heavenwards. We still have our faith. We still have our commitment. We're still in full knowledge of the fact that we possess a Torah of truth, that we possess these words of truth, and we're not going to be swayed by whatever it is that the world has to throw at us, and everything that the world says is right and is correct, not necessarily true, but the words of Torah, the very essence of what our lives are all about, those holy letters, that is our truth, and that is what we are all about, and that's what we'll stand up proud for, no matter where we go and no matter what the environment is. And we've got to remember that that is the way that we continue and that we're committed to being strong as Jews everywhere and anywhere and at all times, and particularly in difficult times where things seem to be getting darker, where things seem to be becoming a little bit more intense and a little bit more difficult for us. Nevertheless, we know that with our Torah and with our commitment to our mitzvahs, as Jewish history has always proven, we will be triumphant. Those letters will continue to fly heavenward. Now, tomorrow is the 28th day of Sivan. 28th of day of Sivan in 1941, so it's a big leap forward in history, but in 1941, on the 28th day of Sivan, after escaping Nazi-occupied Paris and many perilous months in parts of France, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and his wife, the Rebbe Tzemchaya Mushka, boarded the SS Serpa Pinto in Lisbon, Portugal. And on Monday, the 23rd of June, the 28th of Sivan on the Jewish calendar, at 10:30 a.m., so tomorrow, 10:30 a.m., they arrived in New York. Shortly after his arrival, the Rebbe's father-in-law, the then Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, who had been rescued from Nazi-occupied Warsaw in 1940, appointed him to head the social and educational outreach programs of Chabad Lubavitch, and thus the Rebbe began his decades-long revolutionary work to revitalize Jewish life in the West, which spread by means of his emissaries, his shluchim, that he dispatched from his New York headquarters to every single part of the world to form, as we know today, the worldwide Chabad Lubavitch movement. It all began, actually, if we think about it, 28th of Sivan in 5784. Sorry, 28th of Sivan. This is 5784. We're talking about 28th of Sivan in 1941, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe arrived on that date in New York and began his legendary work. Now, if we couple with that, or we think back to a date that really goes way, way back into our time in the desert, you know that it was on the 29th of Sivan, which is going to be Friday, it was on the 29th of Sivan that the spies were dispatched in 1312, before the Common Era. Now, we read about that in the Parsha of this last week, all about the spies. And of course, there were the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent, and there were the spies that Yeshua sent, that Joshua sent. If we think about the difference between those spies, there were many. The first spies, the spies sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Moses, on the 29th of Sivan, those spies, 10 of them, came back and gave terrible reports about Israel. They tried to dissuade the Jewish people from going there. It was only two of them, Kolev and Yoshua, who came back with their positive energy, with their positive report, and yet the Jewish people chose to listen to that majority. And yes, majorities can sometimes be wrong. Majorities sometimes are incorrect in their findings, and we've got to be able to stand up for what is right and correct, even if we're a minority. And perhaps that's one of the lessons of those spies, that the two who stood up for what was correct were ridiculed, they were scoffed at, they were mocked, they were derided by the Jewish people who went after the 10, the majority. And of course, they had validity to what they said. However, it wasn't what the Almighty wanted, it wasn't what Moshe Rabbeinu had sent them for. And in fact, that was the forerunner to us spending the next 40 years wandering around in the desert and allowing the departure of that whole generation who spoke ill of Israel. Yes, you don't speak ill of Israel and get away with it, not in God's world, and you don't continue to deride the Jewish people in any way, or God's mission for the Jewish people in this world in any way, and get away with it. And therefore, we need to remember that although they were in the minority, the spies who came back with a good report were correct. And perhaps we can juxtapose this also with the spies that Joshua sent. When Yeshua sent spies right at the end of the tenure of the Jewish people in the desert, of our time there, just before we go into Israel, he sends the two spies. They are chased after, they have a difficult time, and yet they come back and everything is positive. And I suppose we could also interject here with an idea of the fact that it's how you look at things. If we look at our mission in this world from a positive angle, we certainly will be triumphant. If we look always for the faults and we want to believe in the negativity of the world and we want to think that it's going to get the better of us, as the people did in the time of those 12 spies who were sent on the 29th of Sivan, that's the day after tomorrow, that they were dispatched to the Holy Land in preparation for its supposed conquest by the Jewish people. This was a negative stance that they all took, and negativity not only gets you nowhere, but it leads to your ultimate destruction, and it certainly doesn't accomplish and achieve everything that we are supposed to achieve. So, just some interesting facts about today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
I will talk a little bit more about this later, but coming up on this Shabbat, this Shabbos and Sunday, is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Yes, we're coming towards the end of the month of Tammuz, of Sivan, and we're going into the month of Tammuz. We know that this last Shabbos we had the Shabbat Mevarchim. We blessed the new month of Tammuz, which is starting, as we said, Friday night, Shabbos, Saturday night, and Sunday. The last day of the month is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and that will be on this coming Shabbos. Sunday is the first of Tammuz. Now, Sunday, the first of Tammuz, amazingly, is the birthday and the yahrzeit of Yosef, of Joseph, the famous Joseph, who is the son of our patriarch, Yaakov Avinu, was born in Haran, in Mesopotamia, on the first of Tammuz in the year 2199 from creation. That's 1562 before the Common Era. He was the first child of Jacob's most beloved wife, Rachel. And he was born after seven childless years of marriage to her. Now, amazingly, he lived for exactly 110 years. Now, next time you're playing Trivial Pursuit and you want to know the ages of certain people, Joseph was exactly 110 years old when he passed away on his birthday, on the day of his birth, exactly on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 110 years later, and that was in Mitzrayim in Egypt. When Yosef was 6 years old, Yaakov and his family returned to the Holy Land, and they eventually settled in the city of Hebron. yeah, just remember, that was a few thousand years ago. No doubt about Jews being around in those times in that city, in that place. They settled in Hebron, and though younger than 10 of his 11 brothers, he was his father's favorite, and a great rivalry existed between him and his brothers, whose animosity towards him increased when he related two dreams that he had, forecasting that he was destined to rule over them. And when Yosef was 17, his brothers famously sold him into slavery, and he was taken to Mitzrayim, he was taken to Egypt, when he refused the advances of his master's wife, of Potiphar's wife, as she had him placed in prison, where he remained for 12 harsh years. At 30 years old, he then interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, a famous story of the dreams, and they then, one of them, of course, the baker, was put to death. The butler went on to serve in Pharaoh's court once again, as predicted by Yosef, and he told of this wonderful man who could interpret dreams when he heard that Pharaoh had some dreams that were bothering him. And he came out, interpreted the dreams according to the liking of Paro, Pharaoh. He was then appointed the viceroy of Egypt to oversee the gathering and storage of the grain in preparation for the 7 years of famine that the dreams had predicted. He married Osnat, who had two children with him, Manasseh and Ephraim. The great famine brought his brothers to Mitzrayim. They brought his brothers to Egypt to purchase grain, and after subjecting them to a series of trials and tests, testing their loyalty to each other and to see whether there was any remorse over what they'd done to him, Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers. He was reconciled with him and settled his father and the entire family, all in all 70 people in Mitzrayim in Egypt. He passed away in Egypt on his 110th birthday. He was the first of the brothers to pass away, and he transmitted to them the divine province, promise to take him out of Mitzrayim and be restored to his burial place in the Holy Land. And they promised to do this. And in fact, that was the last thing that we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moses did before quitting Egypt, was to find the bones, of Yosef, to take out the remains of Yosef from his interment near the Nile, and to take them with the Jewish people in their march through the Midbar, through the desert. And so for 40 years in the desert, it was the bones of Yosef in a casket that actually led the Jewish people, together with, of course, after the giving of the Torah, the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, which were in a box, in an ark, in an oren, and these two amazing aronis, these two amazing arks, were carried in the desert. Now, if we think about it once again, we've got a Torah scroll, we've got something of flesh and blood, which has met its demise, unfortunately, like that of Yosef after 110 years. But then we have the Torah scroll letters, which continue in of those famous eternal words of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, as he was put to death on this fateful day all those years ago, that those letters continue to fly up, that those letters continue to connect us. We are kind of the fitting together of these two parts of flesh and blood, and then of a spiritual connection, of human human demise, of human death, of human physicality that comes and goes, and then of course the things that are eternal, that continue to be the eternal guide of the Jewish people, the eternal guide of our world at all times. Those great and wondrous letters of our Torah, of our truth, that continue to inspire, that continue to give us that incredible direction. Now, if we then come to the next personality who we wanted to talk about, which is Yoshua, at the time of, as we mentioned before, of taking the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, into Israel, the land of promise. It was the year 1273 before the common era. It was the third of Tammuz, Gimel Tammuz, the third of Tammuz, which is going to come up next week on Tuesday. Remember, Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos and Sunday, so Sunday is the first day of Tammuz, Monday is the second. The third day of Tammuz is, in fact, Monday night, Tuesday. On Tuesday, the third of Tammuz comes upon the world once again. Now, if we go all the way back to Joshua, it was on the 3rd of Tammuz in the year 2488. That's the year that we got into Israel. So you want to know how long the Jewish people as a nation, as a people, have been in Israel. This is after our sojourn in Egypt and after the time of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We came back into Israel in 1273, 1,273 years before the Common Era. We're now in the year 2024. If you add on 1273 to that, it's in the year 2488, and we're now in 5784. So when we think about that time, under the leadership of Yoshua, he was leading the Jewish people in one of the battles to conquer the land. Victory was imminent, but darkness was about to fall. Sun, proclaimed Joshua, looking at the sun in the sky. He said, be still at Givon, moon at the Ayalon Valley. The heavenly bodies acquiesced. The sun and the moon stopped in their tracks, halting their progress through the sky until Israel's armies brought the battle to its successful conclusion. Remember, there was no chance of fighting then at night, no night vision, no ability to see through radar and all sorts of other miraculous things. And therefore, Shemesh Begivon Dom, the idea of the sun standing still, it all happened on the 3rd of Tammuz, going back all those thousands of years ago. In 1851, on the same date, on the 3rd of Tammuz, a great fire destroyed much of the town of Lubavitch. Now, yes, you may not know that the town of Lubavitch was actually a town in Russia, Lubavitch. Yes, aptly named, the town of love. And it included the home of the third Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson of Lubavitch, known as the Tzemach Tzedek. And many, many invaluable manuscripts were destroyed in that great fire. So it destroyed part of the town, it destroyed the Rebbe's home, it destroyed many, many famous manuscripts. And yes, once again, happening on the 3rd of Tammuz. Well, once again, we have this image of the destruction of things, but the letters flying up, the theme, the idea, the spirituality, remaining behind in order to continue to inspire, no matter how, no matter what. Yes, there's been destruction, and yes, there have been difficulties, and yes, there have been fires, and yes, there have been spies, and there have been all sorts of things, but yet victory comes through eventually, and eventually those letters of our Holy Scroll, the letters of our Torah, and the inspiration behind why it was that we were in the desert in the first place, continued to inspire all the way through. Now, similarly, in 1927, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, was released from imprisonment, and it happened believe it or not, on the 3rd of Tammuz as well. Now, he was arrested on the 15th of Sivan in 1927 by agents of the Soviet secret police and the Yevsekts, as it was known, the Jewish section of the Communist Party. This was for his, he was imprisoned for his work to preserve and disseminate Jewish learning and observance throughout the Soviet Empire. He was held in the notorious Spalerno prison in Leningrad, and he repeatedly was interrogated, he was beaten, he was tortured, and initially his sentence was a sentence of death. However, international pressure compelled the Soviet Union to first commute the sentence to 10 years hard labor in Siberia, and then to a 3-year term of exile in a place called Kostroma, a town in the interior of Russia. But on the 3rd of Tammuz, 18 days after his arrest, listen to it, he was supposed to be there for 3 years, 18 days after his arrest, he was released from prison and allowed 6 hours at home before reporting to the Leningrad train station to embark on his exile. Many gathered at the station to see him off, and though he knew that they were agents present, he spoke to the assembled crowd and encouraged them all to persist in the very activities for which he'd been arrested. This, he proclaimed, all the nations of the world must know. It is something worth repeating time and time and time again. Only our bodies were sent into exile and subjugated to alien rule. Our souls were not given over into captivity and foreign rule. We must proclaim openly and before all that any matter affecting the Jewish religion, Torah, and its mitzvahs and customs is not subject to the coercion of others. No one can impose his belief upon us, nor coerce us to conduct ourselves contrary to our beliefs. On the 12th of Tammuz, after serving only 9 days of his 3-year term, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok was informed that he was to be sent home, and shortly thereafter, he was allowed to leave the Soviet Union and resettle in Riga, in Latvia. Now, think about the theme once again. As the previous Rebbe said, our bodies were sent into exile and subjugated to alien rule. Our souls were not given over into captivity and foreign rule. We must proclaim openly and before all that any matter affecting the Jewish religion, Torah, and its mitzvahs and customs is not subject to the coercion of others. They may be able to burn us, hurt us, harm us physically, but those letters continue to fly to heaven. Those letters continue to keep that link of our greater depth and our greater spiritual connection to God Almighty, to our people, to our unity, to our togetherness. And no one can impose his belief upon us, nor coerce us to conduct ourselves contrary to our beliefs. Now, amazingly, it's on this date in 1994, that's 30 years ago, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson of righteous memory, who, remember, was born in 1902, that he passed away in the early hours of the morning of the 3rd of Tammuz in the year 5754 from creation, which is 1994. And so when we think about this great date and we think about whatever it was that the Rebbe did and stood for and the things that he taught us and things that he gave us, yes, so too. From a physical point of view, those things can be placed in exile, those things can be taken away, but from a spiritual point of view, they continue, and everything that the Rebbe stood for continues ad infinitum. It continues right up until today in even and ever a greater fashion than ever before. Similar theme, similar point, connecting all of these ideas and ideals from the great Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion, who was killed on this date on the 27th of Sivan, all those years ago, the same prophecy, the same thought, the same ideal of the fact that from a physical point of view, things may look bleak and they may look difficult, but spiritually, in our Kedusha, in our holiness, in our neshamas, that is eternal, that continues forever.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
In honor of the date of Gimel Tammuz that is coming up next week, and thinking about the unique individual whose yahrzeit it is, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, 30th yahrzeit, it's hard to believe. We've got to think about the fact that during the Rebbe's lifetime he accomplished so much, and so much more even after his passing. The fact is that not only did his letters continue to fly upwards, but his letters and the things that the Rebbe had spoken about, had said, had done, the books that he had described, that he had authored, those continued not only to be read, learned, disseminated, but they continued to inspire and inspire new generations, where it is quite incredible to think about the fact that there has been an exponential growth of the Chabad Lubavitch, Chabad Hasidic community and its outreach work and its shluchim, its Chabad houses around the world, so much more since the Rebbe's passing than there actually was even beforehand. So the incredible and unique way of the Rebbe was something that inspired us all. The Rebbe, it's been written about him that he was a rare blend of prophetic visionary and pragmatic leader. He synthesized deep insight into the present needs of the Jewish people with a breadth and a vision for its future. Yes, think about here in South Africa. The Rebbe continued to give his blessings to the not only to the South African Jewish community, but to South Africa per se, often stating that South Africa is a good place for Jews to live, and it continues to be through thick and thin, through difficulties, through difficult times, and as the Rebbe termed it, it will be good here until Mashiach comes, and when Mashiach comes, it'll be even better. So in a sense, he charted the course of Jewish history. He initiated, in addition to reacting to current events, the Rebbe was guided by inspired insight and foresight in combination with encyclopedic scholarship. And all his pronouncements and undertakings were, first and foremost, rooted in our Holy Torah. Time and again, what was clear to him at the outset became obvious to other leaders with hindsight. Decades later, yes, at times even the powers that be in the South African Jewish community had questioned the opening of new schools, campuses, etc., something that we see happening even today here in South Africa. And they spoke of a diminishing community and diminishing funds, etc., etc., etc. And the Rebbe really turned that around and said, how can people in leadership be talking about the demise of a community? How can people in leadership be talking about the fact that things are getting smaller? We've got to be building, you've got to be growing, you've got to be setting the tone of positive energy going forward. Now, from the moment the Rebbe arrived in America in 1941, as we said, that's the date tomorrow of the 28th of Sivan, his brilliance at addressing himself to the following ideal became apparent. He would not acknowledge division or separation. Every Jew, indeed every human being, has a unique role to play in the greater scheme of things and is an integral part of the tapestry of God's creation. For nearly five of the most critical decades in recent history, the Rebbe's goal to reach out to every corner of the world with love and concern has unfolded dramatically. No sector of the community was excluded. Young and old, men and women, leader and layman, scholar and laborer, student and teacher, children and even infants. The Rebbe had an uncanny ability to meet everyone at their own level. He advised heads of state on matters of national and international importance, explored with professionals the complexity of their own fields of expertise, and spoke to small children with warm words and a fatherly smile. Be back with you to sum up right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So what better way to conclude today than with the following? The Rebbe had extraordinary insight, and he perceived the wealth of potential in each and every individual. His inspiration, which is now accessible, of course, in his writings and videos that one can see online, boosts the individual's self-perception, igniting his awareness of that hidden wealth, and motivates a desire to fulfill his potential. In the same way, many a community has been transformed by the Rebbe's message and been given, directly or indirectly, a new sense of purpose and confidence. In each case, the same strong, if subtle, message is imparted. You're divinely gifted. You are divinely gifted with enormous strength and energy. Now you actualize it. Put it into practice. Make it happen. Is that not the finest tribute to the Rebbe, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose Yahrzeit site comes up on Gimel Tammuz, on the 3rd of Tammuz, next week on Monday night and Tuesday. It is the 30th anniversary of his passing. And if we think about all the messages that we conveyed today in this week, an incredible week from the 28th, 27th of Sivan, right up until Gimel Tammuz, all the things from Joshua, from Joseph, from the lessons we learned from the spies, and from Rabbi Hananya ben Tradion and his message of the fact that it is the letters that continue from our Holy Torah to inspire and to keep on reaching upwards. Is that not what we should all be doing? To aspire, to reach upwards, to actualize our potential, to do the mission for which we are created, for which we're here on earth, and to continue with pride and with an upstanding heart, and with a commitment to making sure that all of these things happen, and may they happen speedily in our time, and help us to bring Mashiach now, bringing an end to all the misery and all the suffering, all the pain, all the difficulty of the past, and make it into something that is glorious and wonderful for the future. I'll be back with you again, same time, same place, next week, please God, for another exciting episode of Judaism 101.9. In the meantime, have a great rest of the week, a great Shabbat up ahead, a good Chodesh for the coming Chodesh, for the coming month of Tammuz, and look forward to being with you again soon. Take care.